Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 16th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now again, this is one of those lessons that gets split in half. It seems kind of odd, but maybe we'll have an answer by the end of the sermon. But last week, while Jesus and his disciples were walking near the town of Caesarea Philippi, which to us is just, okay, this great town name, but it was the home base for the Romans. It's where the governor liked to prefer to be, where the temple to the imperial cult was, and all this other stuff. It was the sign of everything Roman and imposed. Jesus asked his disciples, well, who do people say that I am? And they mentioned various prophets. And then he turns and he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter boldly proclaims that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus claims, you know, bold is your faith, upon this you are Peter, and I will build my church. Oh, spoiler alert, it changes quick. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Poor, poor Peter. Yeah. You know, as we said, you know, we try to, you know, be good stewards of our bulletins and stuff like that and recycle and reuse things as much as possible in this effort to try to maintain and to help, you know, our environments and the creation that God blessed us with. An effort to make something safer as well as put to use something that's hard to recycle. Old used tires. They're actually going to use them in the construction of new aircraft. Why? Because they'll never crash. Because they are now being made by the Boeing. Okay. Fine. I don't know about you, but I recently realized the fact that I haven't done the hokey pokey in a long time. I guess when you get older, you just forget what it's all about. There's the Hokey Pokey Clinic, actually, that someone opened up. It's where you go to turn yourself around. And I just want to shout out to all the people who don't know what the opposite of in is. Shout out. All right, and this is the later crowd. The 8 o'clock crowd must have had better coffee. But yes, poor Peter. Poor Peter. You want to talk about ups and downs? There's Peter. You want to talk about being in and then out? There's Peter. Peter seems to forget what it's all about, too. But it's Peter. I mean, after all, this is kind of consistent for him, isn't it? Peter, the guy who looked at the scary person walking on the waves and said, if it's you, Lord, call me and I'll go out and join you. And he got out of the boat and walked on the water until he didn't. Peter's the guy who, when they got to the Mount of Transfiguration with James and John, he's one of the inner circle. And he sees Jesus with Elijah and Moses, his first thought is, let's just build houses and stay right here. And the voice of God came from the cloud and said, "This is my son, listen to him." This is Peter, the guy who at that Last Supper, after Jesus tells him again what's going on and what's going to happen, says, "Nope, not me, Lord. Even if I die, I will never betray you. I'll never deny you." 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's Peter. Peter. There's something fundamentally screwy with Peter. He keeps getting it wrong. But then why is there this huge church in Rome called St. Peter's Basilica? Why are there all these other St. Peter churches? Why is it that there's this ongoing, constant trope of a joke involving Peter with a book at the pearly gates? By the way, it's not biblical, but it can be a fun joke at times. We still call him St. Peter. What's up with that? Peter. Well, what can we do with Peter? We might be able to look at all of these things and go, well, he's just being consistent. And we can keep this as a nice character study and go, well, there's Peter, and isn't that lovely? And that's just how he is. But again, how do we get from all of these total screw-ups to St. Peter? Now, let's be fair to him. He just acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and Jesus said, "You are Peter. Flesh and blood did not give this to you, but only my Father in heaven. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And then Jesus starts talking about what that means. Death, denial, betrayal, mocking. I think he missed the whole and 3 days later would rise again. In amongst everything else, honestly, I think that was overlooked. And so Peter goes, "Lord, God forbid it." And Peter went from, "You are the rock I'm going to build my church on," to, "Get behind me, Satan." Whoa, that escalated quickly. How do you... Now, of course, we could just look at this and go, well, this is just Peter, and this is how it is. But why would Peter all of a sudden say, "No, God forbid it"? Why would Peter, upon hearing that his friend and teacher is going to go and be mocked and abused and executed, why would he not? Oh. I mean, after all, if your friend told you that they were looking at a very hard road ahead that was going to lead to destruction, wouldn't you say something? Wouldn't you want to intervene? Wouldn't you want to stop that? Or are you not that kind of friend? Do we just sit back and go, "Sucks to be you, man? Aw, tough luck. I got your back, your way back"? Not much of a friend. This is his friend. He's walked with him for years. This is his friend. And he's a teacher. It's his teacher. This is a guy he's listened to, learned from, looked up to. If your coach, your mentor, your important person in your life was going to said the same thing about how they were going to be betrayed and abused and executed, would you want to perhaps get in the way of that too? Or do they not mean that much to you? And then on top of it all, I'm sure there's a little bit of this. He declares Jesus as Messiah. Messiah means anointed. To people of that time and place, the anointed one was the king. It's quite possible Peter was looking at, "I'm first amongst the inner circle for the future king." Bless you. Wouldn't it be something where, you know, looking out for his own self-interest might be going, you know, I'd like that job. I don't want to lose it. God forbid it. Or again, do we not care about our own place, our own comfort? How often will we choose something because of an emotional attachment that makes it might be an easier choice, but not the harder right choice? How often will we do that with a family member or a friend or a mentor because you're afraid to offend or upset? How often would we sacrifice our comfort for others? How often might we sacrifice others for our comfort? This 2,000-year-old story doesn't seem 2,000 years old, does it? We've probably all done this at one point or another, where we have chosen the easier way that isn't necessarily the way you need to, or you should. Or you chose the way that was more comforting, or more, you were hoping to defend a more advantageous position. These are hard choices. Big surprise. Jesus said, you need to deny yourself, take up a cross, and follow. But he tells that after looking at Peter and goes, hey, Peter, friend, buddy, student, get behind me, Satan. Peter went from a rock to the accuser. And a lot of us make, you know, big deal about Satan again is the tempter, the accuser. And Jesus calls his buddy that. Tells him to get behind me. Those who want must follow me. Take up a cross and follow. Where is he putting Peter? Is he casting him out? Is he exorcising him? Is he abjuring him? Is he killing him? No. He's telling him to get back in line. He's telling him to get back and follow. Tell him to learn. The guy who was first in line is now last in line. Oh, I think there's something in here about first and last and last and first. But they're all there. Jesus doesn't toss him out because he makes a mistake. He says, student, mind your lessons. Follow. You know, Peter's just one of those characters where it seems like he goes all in, and then he almost goes all into the ocean, you know, and he starts walking and starts going through. He goes from Peter to Satan. He goes from, I'll never deny you, to three times. It's almost as if Peter is like, you know, Peter, by the way, means rock. Petros means rock. It's almost like when Jesus talks about earlier on about the parable of the sower and how the sower keeps throwing seeds and some of the seeds falls amongst rocks.
And they sprout
up quickly, but then when things get too hot, they burn up quickly. It's almost like Peter, the rock, is exactly like that. And yet, if we look out in the world and you
see
rocks keep getting, seeds keep getting thrown on rocks. Eventually, these rocks become boulders, and these boulders become gravel, and the gravel becomes soil. Because fundamentally, again, the faith that we look at is not the faith in our ability to get it and do it right, but in the faith of Christ to keep coming to us, bringing us back. If nothing else, we should learn from Peter that in the kingdom of heaven, there is no zero tolerance or three strikes and you're out policy. This is Peter, and he blows it all the time. And yet it's Saint Peter. We just have to remember to follow. And we're invited into this relationship. We're invited in to follow. We're not trying to go out and find Jesus. We don't have to go find him. He keeps coming to us and leading. We don't go someplace where Jesus isn't. We just are called to follow. Follow in that hope, in that mission of sharing the good news, but we're following him. We're not making a way for him, we're following him. And we're going to get it wrong. What happens? Okay, back of the line. But we're still in line. Because that's what Jesus does. That's who Jesus is. Because he's the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who goes and does take up a cross for us, and then up on that cross dies and takes all of the crap that we throw at God and at each other. All of the terrible, awful, nasty things that we can do. And we go, see, this is what happens. And then God, 3 days later, goes, hello again. Because yet again, when there is something we might call a death, or a failure, or an ending, God goes, nope. For God so loved the world that hope and love will never die. That he will be with us until the end of the age, continuing to lead us and calling us to follow. As we trip and we fall, we screw up. Yep, back in line. Try again. Learn. The teacher is still teaching. We are still learning. And maybe, just maybe over that time, the boulders, the hard-headedness, the rock heads and rock hearts that we might have might get worn down by Jesus keep coming at us with these seeds and saying, there is something more. There is something more. And that's what we celebrate today in baptism. For Jesus and Luca, the promise of God saying, you are mine. No matter what. Why? Because that's what God does. And we're invited to follow. We're invited to remember that. And so, I want you all to remind yourself of the promises made by God in baptism. And in a little bit, when we do it after the prayers, may you hear those promises again. For it is going to be prayed over Jesus and Luca. But again, it is something that continues on as we continue to follow Jesus. And so I invite you to remind yourself and repeat after me these promises of God to you. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. So take up that cross and follow. And remember that God loves you. And so do I. Amen.